verse of scripture over there. You know, we've heard Job over the years teach a whole lot about, and I'm not actually going to try to teach on what about the mysteries or things like that. But I hear a lot of preachers, and they'll maybe tell you, you know, to do this, or you ought to be doing that, but a lot of times they don't ever tell you how. They don't ever explain to you what it is that they're actually wanting, you know, see God do in your life, you know. And I just want to look at this thing about what it means to be faithful to these mysteries, being faithful to the ministry that God has put us all in, by the way. It's not, you know, it isn't the pastor, it isn't the Sunday school teachers, it's not just the bus workers. Everybody has been saved by the grace of God, has been called with a calling. You've been given you have been sent. You look in Romans chapter 1, the Bible makes it very plain that Paul was teaching us there that he was not only sent, but we was given a part of his apostleship, that we were also sent and given a part of that ministry of taking that gospel, his gospel, to all the world. And I just want to just try to bring out a few things that it was on my heart and mind about this thing of what it means to be faithful. Now, I looked up this word faithful, and first I just want to start off with. It says, "As let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, and moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, I looked up that word faithful, and I didn't think, you know, every definition I looked did it justice. For one thing, there's only been one faithful, and that's the Lord. We cannot look at a man and say, and I thought Job did a good job bringing this out a few weeks ago, where he said, you cannot look at yourself and say, I'm faithful. Or you can't look at another man, brother, I can't look at you and say, you have been faithful. Because there's only one who can say that. Notice it says, that a man be found faithful. Now, who is it that's looking at us that's going to find us, whether we're faithful or not? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that moves in our hearts. He's the one that determines. He's the one who has the right to judge. And if now look over here. It says, and look back in chapters 2. And we're in verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." Verse 7 says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now, here he's talking about men that are preaching wisdom and the wisdom of God, the mysteries of God. And verse 13 says, "We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So here we're seeing that the words that the minister is speaking is not his words, but they're the words of the Holy Spirit, the faithful witness. And then in look up here in verses 15. "Now he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So, he that is spiritual judgeth. I ain't talking about the man, because about right down below it it says, "For yet he himself is judged of no man." I'm a man, so I can't judge myself, according to those verses. I'm a man. I can't judge myself whether I'm faithful or not. I can judge myself and look and see if I'm doing things that I know are not faithful. I can look at myself and determine whether I'm doing some things I ought not be doing. But whether I'm doing what it is that pleases God, only God can judge. Because He knows, He judges the motives. He judges what's proceeding out of our hearts. Where a lot of times we can deceive ourselves. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, they'll look at a man, say, for example, we'll say, this guy, he's been faithful in the ministry for all these years. He's, you know, well, let me tell you something. I got saved in 1984. I haven't missed much church over that time. I've tried to be faithful in attendance. I got involved in the bus ministry about not quite 2 years after I got saved. I was in a Methodist church when I got saved, and I got bit right off the bat. I started trying to reach out to people. We started a visitation program. We started trying to reach young people and children, and started trying to bring people into church. And after a while, I looked at things going around. I said, you know, I think maybe I need to move on down the road. Went and talked to the pastor of the church and about that, and he said he thought I was being a little, you know, a little judgmental in the church. And I'm sitting there thinking, it ain't me that's judging the church. It's just when I read my Bible and then I hear what's being taught here and see what things is going on, it just doesn't appear to be right. So I had to follow what I was seeing in the Bible, and then I had to make a decision what I was going to do. And at that time, I came to this church. After I got invited to come over here to a revival meeting. Brother Ed Ballou was preaching. And it just kind of stirred me up, and I ended up visiting on one Sunday morning then, and I really felt the Holy Spirit said, you need to come into this fellowship, and I joined the church that morning. I met Brother Melvin down front, and what I came down for was baptism, because I hadn't yet been baptized. I believe what the Bible said, that you were to believe and then be baptized. And a fellow one time asked me, he said, what were you baptized into? I said, well, ignorance, because I didn't really understand what baptism was about. I'd only read what the Bible said, believe and then be baptized. But I didn't have no understanding of it. So when I got baptized and come down, I said, I come forward to be baptized. And Brother Melvin says, are you coming to join the church? And I said, yep, I reckon I am. And I ended up joining the church at that time. I went back to my seat and told my wife, I said, honey, you don't have to join if you want to, but I'm joining the church this morning. And so I did. I went ahead and was baptized that morning, joined the church. My wife and two of my children, which were saved, they were baptized that evening in the evening service, and we joined the church. And I got involved in the bus ministry. And I came. I mean, I tried to be there. Brother Craig had a way more of capturing you. But I got involved in the bus ministry. And I ain't going to blame that on Brother Craig, because that was God. God wanted me in. God wanted me in. And I got involved. I didn't always like everything I was seeing in the bus ministry, but I was there. I stayed with it. I remember many a morning I'd get up and I'd throw up right before I'd get out on the route. My stomach was so tore up with nerves. But, you know, you throw up, you get feeling a little bit better, and you just went on. And I was with it, and I stayed with that. I was in the bus ministry. I stayed in the bus ministry. I left here. I got in the bus ministry. And I'll say that to say this, you know, I hardly ever missed a service. I hardly ever missed visitation. I hardly ever missed, they used to have street preaching. Brother Paul, did you ever go with them? Then Charlotte street preaching, I thought. I don't know if you did, but anyway, several of us. And I got involved in it. I hardly ever missed that. I went. But that didn't make me faithful. Just because I was there at every service, just because I, you know, was there on the buses, working on those buses, just because that does not make me faithful in the eyes of God. Because God, what makes me faithful is why I was there. And I can't always judge that. A lot of times people will get involved in church and they'll do things, and they do it because this is what is expected of them. This is what the preacher says you ought to do. This is what or maybe you're doing it, you're trying to impress somebody. Because I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There were a lot of times I did not quit going to visitation. I did not quit showing up for services. And I'd sit there, and my heart was the furthest thing from being there in the church that day. My heart was the furthest thing of being on the route that day. I was there. That's all I can say. I was there because I felt it was my duty to be there. But was I faithful? No, I wasn't very faithful. If you saw what was in my heart and what was in my mind, you'd know I wasn't faithful. I was battling. I was at war. And be honest with you, I was losing. The world, the flesh, and the devil was cleaning my clock. And I wasn't faithful. My mind was not faithful. My heart was not faithful. I was just simply there. But I will tell you something. God was faithful. God never left me. He didn't leave me alone when I was in this trouble. He didn't leave me by myself. So God was faithful in my life. He stayed with me. Now, I tell you that because everybody has those wars and his fights. I mean, you look through the Bible, you find me one man. Find me one who was faithful. Let's look at, turn to the book of Numbers. Let's see here. Chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And look in, we're going to look at verse 7. It says, we know the account. What this account here tells about Moses was married to a black woman. The brethren didn't like it. You know, he was married to a black. He was married to an Ethiopian. And it says right here, Moses and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken by Moses? Hath he not also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, Miriam and Aaron have been along for the whole trip. Miriam, boy, when he come out on the other side, you know what I mean? She led the song service and praised to God, you know. She was involved. But right now, God ain't considering them faithful. And they're being very religious, aren't they? He said, have not God, you know. I mean, you know, God showing us some stuff too, you know. And, you know, and you ain't supposed to be married to this woman. And if we ain't careful, we'll get like that too. We start doing what we read over here. It says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. They were ready and willing to judge Moses for what he had done. But no, what Moses... It says... Now the man Moses was very meek, verse 3, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He didn't want that job. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be God's spokesman. He did not consider himself worthy. He didn't push things. He only did the best he could what he felt like God wanted him to do. I do that sometimes, and sometimes I don't. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. But here's what it said, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. You ever had your mom and daddy speak suddenly to you? I mean, it just... You done did something that got their attention that they didn't appreciate. And now God spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He's speaking to them. They said, "Have God not spoken to us?" He said, "Yeah, I'm speaking to you right now, too." And it says, "Come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation." They three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." You see, what I'm saying here is, the only one who can judge who was faithful in this matter was the Lord. Miriam and Aaron was not able to judge in that situation. And as we read over here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we are not able to judge in these situations who is faithful and who is not. You say, well, then how? What are we to judge? How are we to judge? We're to judge righteous judgment. If I see a man walking down the street, and he got a brown bag, and he kind of walking a little funny, I kind of got inkling what his problem is. But it's based on information. Now, if I see him fall down in the ditch, and I go over to help him up, and I get this real strong odor coming off of him, you know, like whiskey, then I got even more information that I can understand this fella's falling down drunk, you know? And so I know what this fella needs. He needs somebody to help get him to a place where he can either sleep it off, put some black coffee in him, or whatever it is he needs. I'm to judge righteous judgment. And it's all based on according to what is the truth. It's based on the truth. Now, we know that this Bible is truth. So when we read it, and it speaks to us, and it will, it'll tell me, David, that's wrong, that's wicked, and you need to go someplace and sleep it off. You need some black coffee. You need something to wake you up. You know? But it's not my place to say, that drunkard, that unfaithful. You know, honest truth, it's because he's a drunkard. Don't mean I'm any more faithful than he is. Something could have happened to that fellow. I don't know nothing. I didn't know it. His wife might have died with cancer that day. They might just be an old sloppy drunk. I don't know. But anything that I judge, I'm going to have to judge it to truth. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to judge according to what I perceive. And that doesn't mean that it's truth. So if we are going to be faithful stewards of the things that God has given us to do, we first off got to become people of truth. We don't go off, you know what I mean? We can't go off as I did so many times in the pulpit. Boy, I used to say when I was young in the Lord, I like that mean preaching. You know what I'm saying? Man, I was stupid. I'm stupid. Why would I like mean preaching? You think God's mean? No, God ain't mean. God is kind. I should have liked kind preaching. Loving preaching. Don't get me wrong. I think there are times when you preach those things that God hates, but it ought to be in love. God only hates things because He loves people. He may hate a person because of what he is, but it doesn't mean that he hates his soul. It doesn't mean that he hates that person. He just hates what he is. He hates that he's a liar. He hates a liar. He hates these things. So, but God is long-suffering. Preaching ought to be long-suffering. People are to be told, you know, I don't care where you at, what you've done. God, if you've got a heart to come to God, God's got a heart to receive you. Do we believe that?
Amen.
We need to live that. You know, here's another thing. I'm going to try to bring out about what it is to be faithful. Now, Moses was faithful simply because he was meek. He did not. He wasn't leaning on himself at all. He was leaning. So I read that definition about what it is to be faithful. Is to be reliable. Is to be dependable. To be, you know, trustworthy. You can depend on God. You can't depend on Dave Leslie. I try to be dependable, but if I'm dependable at all, it ain't because of David Leslie. It's because of the truth that worketh in me. If I do anything right, you know, if I'm reliable, hey, if I'm reliable to show up and do the work here in church, it's because of what God has did in me. Paul had told those people over here, he said, what is it that you have that you didn't receive? You know, what is it? What is it about you, if it's good and right and faithful, that you didn't receive? Bible says over in the book of Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? You say, well, salvation. No, faith. The subject there is faith. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, when that says not of works, that means not of your works. Now, because you are God's workmanship. So, God, if you have anything, if you're faithful in any area of your life, it's because God is working in you. He's working in me. If there's anything faithful in our lives, it's because of God's work in us. So, give God the glory. Thank God. If you're not what you used to be, thank God. Maybe we can get better. And you cannot think that you're getting better and you're being faithful if you can look down at any person and think that somehow or another that you are better than them. You say, well,
them wildlife out there, man, they murdering and killing and this, that, and that. And I've been told all my life, and I think they were right. Except by the grace of God, there goes I. Preacher brought out a good message last night, and he brought out the fact that David was a man after God's own heart. When? When he was down there in the shepherd, down there in the sheepfold. When he went up against Goliath. When he was serving the king. But he got distracted, didn't he? He got distracted. What if old Ruth got distracted? He didn't want to go out and fight one day. He wanted to stay home. Lay in his bed all day. Watch television. Got up at the end of the day after watching a bunch of dirty television and walked over and looked out the roof. And down said, look what I got for you. Huh? What you call for? You're the king? Got tired. And he did. Wasn't very faithful, was it? Because David wasn't faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful to him. But he went to the lions and the bears showed up. God was faithful. He didn't kill them bears and lions on his own, did he? Huh? No. When he went up against that Goliath, David didn't kill it. He said, David said, that was not mine. That was the Lord. He knew that. The same way, we got to understand the faith. If a man be found faithful, it's because he is yielding himself to the work of God in him. And the way God works through us, fellas, or the way he works through me anyway, is in this book. And if you're not in this book and you're not reading this book and letting this book teach us, then you're not, no way possible, that we can be faithful to the ministry of this book. We read over and over again, we speak. We speak, as in chapter 2. And Paul kept saying, we speak. We speak. But who was it that was speaking through him? Because it says right plainly that it is the Spirit which taught them to speak. Faithful. More is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And like I said, it's God who determines whether or not we're faithful. And if we are going to be a steward, it's required that a man be found faithful. It says, and let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, my son-in-law, church where he's pastoring at right now, they just got a gift, a sizable gift. Been nice if our church would have got. He got a $400,000 gift given to their church. And I asked him, I said, are you nervous about that? He said, very much. I said, good. You ought to be nervous. Because, you know why? Because of what I just said a little while ago. Back when I was busy out there on that bus route and busy out there on that street preaching and busy doing this, I wasn't always faithful. Now, he's been given a gift. And as a steward, that whole church is responsible with what they do with that gift. And if they do not listen to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, that gift can be a curse. It can cause more problems. People fight over, and churches fight over money probably about more than about anything other than the color of carpet and toilet tissue. You know? I mean, money is a big issue. And I asked him about that, and well, they had come over to our house. We were going to have supper together, and he said he had to leave for a little bit because we had a meeting there at the church. And he said it should be short. It was not. It went on for hours. You know what it was about? About that money. Now all of a sudden, you know. This money is, man, it's needed for this, it's needed for this, it's needed for this, and everybody's got an opinion. What does it matter what our opinion is? And my son-in-law came back, well, my other son-in-law was there, and he's involved in ministry, too, at his church, and he works with his church with finances and stuff. He's, you know, kind of overboard with a lot of that stuff. And he started, you know, giving him some encouragement and some advice. And I'm sitting there saying, shut up. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, just shut up. That's what I'm sitting there thinking. Don't put nothing else in his head. He doesn't need to know what you think. He doesn't need to know what you think this Bible teaching about for him to do. Just I'm sitting there just, please be quiet. They went on for a while. When we were going out the door, I helped him put my grandbabies out in the car, and I tried to give him the best advice I knew. I told him, I said, wait on God. Encourage your church to wait on God and pray until everybody is on board with what God wants you to do. I said, if y'all really pray, I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid, and I think I am, because I do some of the stupidest things. But I'm pretty sure that God is able to take a group of people, if they'll just pray, and get a good majority on board together so that they can be in unity with what to do with that. But if you want to, you can stand up and say to that group, he said, well, you know, bless God, I've looked at what the Bible said, and this is what we need to do with that. You're not leading then, you're driving. And you're lording. Because it's not his money. And it isn't the church's money. Even though they may think that it is. I think the last time I looked, it's God's. All of it. I ain't got nothing in here except for a card. My ugly face on there. That's all I got in here. Shoes are all I got in here. I'm all right. Little gym, man. I'm a rich man. Falling out off my purse as every step I take. Everything that card represents is God. Ask me if I'm faithful about home. I'll tell you right quick. Dave Leslie gets what Dave Leslie wants most of the time. I do try to honor God and forgive him. But just to be honest, I don't pray too much about what I spend it on. I want something, I give you that. That it. Well, let's close this thing out. And I know I probably didn't do a great job with it, but I hope one thing that we can take away from this is lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, you know, let it be God just telling us what to do. The best of our ability. Lean not to our own understanding. God is well able to teach us and guide us and direct us. And do the same thing. If you want that for yourself, you want people to give you, you know, some leeway and be understanding in your failures and everything, be willing to do that for every other person.
And let's not set ourselves up to be some kind of judges other than, like I said, learn to do righteous judgment. Let the Word of God show us where we're wrong. And if we see a brother and he's involved in something that we know is wrong, go to him in love and try to help him, reach out to him. They might tell you to mind your own business, in which case, you know, I'll back off. But if I see this as a serious situation, I'm going to try to get some help about it. I wouldn't go to most people, but there's a few people I'd go to, people I know that are spirit-filled, trying to do the will of God, that are loving. Few people I know. I'm not one of them. Let's be honest. I probably, if I had to look somewhere to get some real spiritual advice, I wouldn't come to me. But I know some people that I would go to. And it's been a help to me over the years. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I hope you did get a little